The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Have you ever heard the joke, is that a sock in your pant? Or are you just happy to see me? One of our guests recently had a sock in her pant. I want to tell you a little bit about this. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show brought to you by Kohl's. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
The woman with the sock in her pants that we're talking about is the educational crime specialist for Crime Stoppers. And we'd never met before. So she comes in. I give her a hug. I'm like, hey, welcome to the show. Let's talk about whatever. You know, we're going to give you some safety tips for kids. And then she moves around a little bit. There's a sock in her pant.
Damn.
Which got stuck, obviously, in the dryer. And I can tell she's mortified. She gets so red. She's like, okay, there's a sock in my pant. And she just put it in her pocket and pretended like it didn't happen.
I didn't even notice a sock in her pant.
Well, of course, because she was trying for everybody not to notice. She was so embarrassed, DJ Automatic. But that happens. It wasn't even a big deal.
I was on this side of the room with her, on this side of the studio, parallel to Claire. And I thought she handled it very well. I didn't pick up too much of a sense of embarrassment. And as a matter of fact, Claire, to make you feel, you know, welcome to the show, it sparked a great conversation about dryer sheets.
It did, because how many dryer sheets have you found, Anthony, in your pants?
Stuck to your back when you went.
Oh, my God.
I personally think, you know what? This person does their laundry, all right? I instantly respect you a lot more there.
Claire is wearing clean pants.
There it is. That's what I picked up.
Your pants are clean. I am the queen. I just realized this because we were talking about this before, you know, we decided to open the mic. I just realized my life is full of embarrassing moments. Mm-hmm. I, at times, wear hair extensions to make appearances. And I had this big event and Automatic wasn't with me. And then he showed up later and he's like, oh my gosh, your track is showing.
I mean, when I say showing, I mean, like, there was, like, the whole side of her head showing.
The whole time.
I was like, nobody told you?
You guys ever see a Toy Story, one of the Sid's little dolls?
Yes. Kind of looked like that.
That was me. Anthony, I was Sid's doll. No, and I'm talking 2 hours, and nobody said anything. I was like, nobody said anything.
I don't know how you say that to somebody, because when somebody has a booger in their nose, you're like, hey, you just touch your nose, or you just be like, hey, you got a bat in the cave.
You don't really say anything. One of our coworkers, that happened. He was our boss, and I'm not going to say his name because he's in radio. But it was the most ginormous bat in his cave, and I could not say anything to him because I was so embarrassed to tell him. Because what do you say?
You tell him there's a bat in a cave.
It's cloudy out.
Come on, yeah.
No, then he'll know that I saw it.
No, well, yes, that's the whole point. That's the point of you being a
friend. Do him the favor.
I was so embarrassed. That's why nobody told me about my track, my hair extension. Nobody told me because they were embarrassed for me.
Your female sister has got to, like, line up. That's like a girl on girl thing.
I agree, 100%.
Like, I think that is like, I think it's like a man to man thing, but hey, bro, your fly is down.
Oh.
Do you tell somebody if you see that?
Yes, for sure. I've done a whole
XYZ.
I've done a whole comedy set in front of 300 people. Got off stage, my fly's down.
Nobody
can say anything.
Well, I'm kind of like a clown, so it was like working. I was like, that's why they were laughing.
I didn't even have to tell a joke. I just stand there and everybody's laughing at me.
I one time went around the office with toilet paper on my shoe for I don't know how long, where like I had a tail and nobody told me.
Automatic, I told you.
Yeah, but I mean, how long was it?
You know what? If somebody tells you, I figured this out. If somebody tells you you have a bat in your cave, or you have toilet paper on your shoe, or a track showing, ladies, something, your hair extension showing, that person actually cares.
Mm-hmm.
They love you.
Facts.
Because I couldn't tell people I don't know or don't care about too much because I was too embarrassed. But if I love you, I'm going to warn you.
Remember when I noticed when we were at the airport when you had two different shoes on?
You know, we didn't have to bring all that up, Automatic. We didn't have to bring all that up. I flew all the way to Vegas with two different shoes.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It really is not just your fault that you're overweight.
See, that doesn't make sense to me.
Why is that, DJ Automatic?
Because you're the only person who's putting the food in your mouth.
Well, first of all, Jesse, are you laughing in the background, girl?
That is good logic.
Hold on here. So, you know, this is the Fat Club, and we do it at this time every Monday because I used to be 60 plus pounds heavier. And when people would say, you're not disciplined and blah, 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 you know what made me do? Eat more. And there are different factors. There are different factors. We have Dr. Johnny Franco, who's going to talk to us about why the medical industry sees obesity differently now than it did 20 or 30 years ago. It's not fair. Plus, he's on his own weight loss journey. Dr. Franco, I know you've been on the Skinny Shot for a minute. Give us an update on yourself.
Yeah, so I've lost a total of about 90 pounds and been stable for about a year and a half now. So been great. So just kind of been maintaining, living my little life. And so, and that's what I think is so cool about this medication is it it really helps you make some real changes. Most of us have done some type of, you know, yo-yo dieting, mm-hmm. and we do well for a little while. But, you know, when we make these changes where we're either on these all-liquid diets or so drastic, it becomes really challenging. And the nice thing about this, it helps you make little changes over a period of time. And so this is why, you know, when we get people to commit, we're like, hey, you need to be on this 6 to 9 months because it takes a while to create new habits.
That's it. It's habitual, right? Because you're eating badly, you're eating too much, and that becomes a habit. This helps you get good habits, and then so it changes your lifestyle. It's not some quick fix melon diet, like you said. Remember, there's all these weird things that go on. You can't live like that.
No, and it becomes super challenging. And it's interesting from a medical world how our view of obesity has changed, and people now understand that it's more of a chronic problem. And in the past, we used to just blame people that, you know, we just didn't do enough. And that's so not true anymore. And so it's even from a medical profession, it's been interesting how it's been eye-opening. And this is really driven for our providers to do more research and be a little bit more educated on how we can help our patients about it.
You hear what he says? He's the expert, and he is saying it's not just your fault. This is a chronic problem. There are places that you can go to where they don't even have real food. So what am I supposed to do?
I've done three different lifestyle changes over the past 18 months.
Break it down, Anthony.
Where I did one, which was a retention, right? And I did one where I cut out energy drinks and another one where I cut out sodas. And cutting out sodas was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It was so challenging.
You think your body's addicted to them?
I think I was. Like,
yes.
I was just second. And then the addiction that happens, like, you know, from the chemicals, but then like mentally, I was just so used to it. It was hard to enjoy any type of food without one for a while. And now I am on my third week of no soda. And it's still like that has been the most challenging thing. So I do agree with that. There's stuff in that makes it more, you know, addicting.
Addicting. There are more chemicals in our foods today than ever before. The French fries that you eat at the fast food place today, they don't have the same ingredients that they did 30 years ago. When somebody pushes that, it's you. You're not disciplined. And trust me, I'm the queen of accountability.
Yeah.
Automatic. I know you're going to come at me.
I would say the duchess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm a queen.
Because I understand as well, it does take discipline. I get that.
Because you're the only person that's putting the food in your mouth.
You're right. But when you don't have a lot of choices, when you're inundated with advertising for nothing but junk, your kids, you know, all they see is this, that they view real food as ew and this fake processed stuff as a treat. And then you yourself say, because I know I do this all the time, oh my gosh, I don't want to deny myself. Deny yourself of what? Junk? You know, of what? Trash? We were at the airport the other day, Automatic and myself, and I said, I can't find any real food. I can't find a peanut to save my life in this place.
But the other thing is that you're not going to starve to death. And you can go without eating for a little while.
Till when, though, Automatic?
I mean, sometimes some people are doing a new thing where they're fasting for 24 hours once a week.
Cool, but I still need to eat eventually. I still need to eat. And so, yes, we must make better choices. But if you just beat yourself up, because I did this for a long time, it made my problem worse. And if you do it to someone else, they may joke and they may laugh and they may think it's funny, but I remember inside I was hurting and it only made my problem worse. It only made me eat more because I was trying to comfort myself. And that's what food was
like
for
inside,
me.
Inside, you mean like emotionally hurting?
Emotionally. And to be honest, I still use food as comfort. That's never going to end for me.
Yeah, last time I was hurting on the inside is my kidneys. But that was from Dr. Pepper. So there are benefits, y'all.
I'm glad you quit, Anthony. I'm glad you quit.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
One of the biggest girl groups in the 90s in Vogue, you might remember this. They sang the hook there for Salt and Peppa. One of them is homeless right now after selling millions and millions of records. We'll tell you more about why she's living in her car. But first, Anthony A., celebrity birthdays.
We have Tamar Braxton celebrating her birthday. Nicki Jam celebrating birthday. Hozier and Rob Kardashian also celebrating a birthday.
All right, so En Vogue was one of the biggest girl groups back in the 90s. They had great music. And many other great songs. Dawn was arguably the most famous in this group. Rappers would, you know, rap about her. She starred in the classic hip-hop film, Juice, where Tupac was in it. She played Q's girlfriend.
Omar Epps.
Yeah, Omar Epps' girlfriend in the movie. So the fact that Dawn from En Vogue is now living in her car and has been living in her car for 3 years has captured the attention of every single publication in the country. How can somebody who sold millions of records...
20 million records, went on world tours.
Bad record deals. In fact, the other members of the group are still touring. Dawn and the other members had a big falling out, and she no longer tours with them. So she says, you know, her agent said, come back to LA, I'll get you some gigs. She went back, and it didn't go as planned. I feel so badly for her. And her ex-husband said, you want to humble yourself, I'll give you a job. He said he'll give her a position at the Hilton.
Oh.
And not just any position, because I guess she's pretty educated. He said, come on in and I'll hook you up. They were married from 2003 to 2010. I hope she takes his offer, because nobody should be living in their car.
Well, nobody's above a job, especially when you're living in your car.
Well,
I thought this wasn't like a whole, like, she's not trying to be like a vanner, like a van person.
No. Where people...
That's the thing now. That's like the first thing that pops in my head now. Is like,
that's the thing.
Yeah, she's doing...
Van life.
Yeah, van life.
Yeah, no, she's not. Huh? She should, though. She'd probably make a lot of money.
So you're kind of telling me that her pride has got her in her car.
No. He just offered her the job. Maybe she was embarrassed to go ask for a job. And before you pass judgment...
I mean, it's hard to be a worldwide superstar and then be like, hey, can I take your order?
But do it. Who cares? You know, this is embarrassing to admit, but I actually lived in my car for a while and I was working. You don't know what people are going through. I was working. I had to change. And, you know, I would go to work early and I would wash myself up at work, go to a truck stop and shower. It was so embarrassing that time of my life. But I empathize with her because I know you don't really understand what's happening in a person's life until you walk in their shoes.
She says she has a gym membership so she can shower.
Oh, she's smarter than I was. Yeah, get that gym membership. I hope she takes the job her ex-husband is offering and gets back on her feet.
I hope she can get back with En Vogue and actually be in the group again. They just performed at the NBA All-Star Weekend.
I don't know what happened with that relationship. Seems to me that she'll be back with her ex-husband before she's back with En Vogue.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Kim Kardashian paid for her own wedding ring when she got married the second time to Chris Humphries. And he got the ring in the divorce. I didn't know this. And I'm ashamed that he would ask for something he didn't pay for. Here she is explaining how that all went down.
I wonder what my next ring shape will be. Number one was a cushion cut, 14 carat. I still have it.
Yeah, I remember that. And then number two, you bought from Lorraine.
Yeah, which I had to give to Chris
in
Humphries.
In the divorce.
Wait, Lorraine, my Chris Humphries ring was an emerald cut, right? How many carats? 18?
About 18 with the sides.
Did you keep it?
I didn't keep that. I was pregnant with North, still married to him. And in order to divorce him, he said I had to give him the ring in my divorce.
Jesus. That she bought,
by the way. That I bought.
Wow.
Yeah. Savage.
She contributed a fifth.
You know what? Best getting rid of what you could have done. Was
I know, but I would have loved a collection.
At least she laughs at herself. She knows people joke about the fact that she's been married three times. She knows all of that. She's making light of a tough situation. Chris Humphries should have never, ever asked for that ring back as a man. You didn't pay for it. We've talked about this before, and in many cases, courts will award the man a ring back if he's fighting for it. But I think had they presented a case and the judge found out, wait, you didn't pay for it, he probably wouldn't have gotten the ring back.
Okay.
But she did it fast because she was expecting a baby. She was like, here, take the ring. I think she gave him like $50 million or something. I don't remember what she gave him, $10 million, whatever, just to get it over with. In my opinion, automatic, you would never, and I know this would never happen, we'd never get a divorce, but I know you would never ask for the ring back.
No, of course I wouldn't ask for it.
Because you're a real man.
But No.
You're not a real man?
She was pregnant from another man. He is mad that his wife, even if it wasn't working out, is pregnant from another man. I would ask for the ring back too. I would do it just out of spitefulness, just out of pettiness. There's no reason for her to go get pregnant from another man while you're married to me.
I thought they were separated.
It doesn't matter. And then the other thing is,
think about how much
his name got dragged through the mud, all the stuff he had to go through by being married to her. And even we're talking about him now, how many years later, because he was married to her and embarrassed by her.
Well, but he knew what he was getting into. You're acting like he's some kind of victim here.
He is the victim. He's a victim of the Kardashians.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Dan, you keep saying has a man.
He didn't pay for the ring.
You tell me what a man's supposed to do.
A man says bye. Take the money. I'll give you that. I'll concede to that. Look, she gave him quite a bit of money just to get out of the marriage, but the ring, that's just overboard and petty and not very manly.
I think it is manly, and I think it also shows how great of a businessman Chris Humphrey is.
What, Anthony?
Yeah, to be able to out-negotiate Kim Kardashian deserves the investment of the ring. I believe so. I believe if Chris Humphries can out-negotiate a Kardashian and get the ring back.
The daughter of Kris Jenner got played by not-so-great basketball player.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Chipotle, which I absolutely love, by the way, has got some new stuff coming for us. I'm excited. Food news is coming up. Automatic will give us the tea on that. It's hottest hashtags here on the Dana Cortez Show, brought to you by Kohl's. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. Young Grammar Error.
First hashtag, I believe, is a little bit weird. A new survey found that over half of U.S. adults have now used AI chatbots. That's not a big deal.
No.
Okay? Yeah, that's not a big deal. Using AI once a day, about a third of people, but 10% believe that they are forming deep relationships with these bots.
What?
There's the concerning part. There's the weird part. It's not real. It is a figment of somebody else's imagination that is starting to learn what you want and what you like, but it's not a real person. This is the danger that I think that AI can become, because if countries, enemies who don't like us, understand that and they start to coerce U.S. citizens into revealing things that we shouldn't be revealing, we're in trouble. It's Terminator.
I'm getting down with the robots. That's all I have in my life.
Some people feel it's like therapy with their Snapchat AI people, or I mean bots.
I think it's the way of the future. So, I mean, it is going to be interesting to see how these relationships develop and carry forward. But
I believe it's the way of the future. I think the future is showing that we are going to end up ruining ourselves.
Do you think this could really be the demise of humanity?
The fact that 10% of people think that this thing cares about them, it's not real. You're talking to something that's not real.
I think it shows more that a lot of people are lonely than
it
crazy.
Does.
It reminds me of that Joaquin Phoenix movie. What was it called?
I think it's called Her.
Yeah, that's it. Go outside. Talk to people. Go to a park. Get a dog. Do something, but you've got to get interaction. It's dangerous for your own mental if you don't. Food news, DJ Automatic.
You can always go to Chipotle because they got new Chipotle honey chicken. So they're getting into the spicy life, the sweet and spicy life at Chipotle, and I'm here for it.
Well, spicy is such a big thing. Remember?
But like me personally, I like pineapple and jalapeno on my pizza.
Yeah, I don't like mole. I don't like spicy. I'm not a spicy girl. Anthony, you don't even like spice, huh?
Nah,
too much?
Not really. Not like that sounds too much for my pizza, dog. I don't know about all that.
That's the greatest pizza's ever been.
That sounds too much. That sounds like too much for me, bro.
You add some chicken on there?
Automatic, that's made up. Italians didn't put ham and pineapple on their pizza.
They weren't as evolved as my taste buds were. They weren't ready for that life.
National Day, Anthony A.
All right, we'll start with National Corn Beef and Cabbage Day.
You know, I'm más Mexican. I always talk about Mexican food, and I love it. Grew up, my nana making homemade tortillas, frijoles, all of that. But she also was very good at making food like this. Corned beef hash, corned beef papitas, little potatoes with cabbage on the side. And she learned because my grandfather was in the army and he became a chef and he traveled the world literally. And he learned all about eating food from different parts of the world and brought that into our casita. And I loved it.
Yum. Let me tell you about a cabbage roll. That is one of the most delicious things ever.
Oh, you are Irish.
Yeah, my mom made all this kind of stuff. My grandma special.
Well, happy St. Patty's Day, DJ Automatic, because isn't that what's coming up next, Anthony?
Yes, it is National St. Patrick's Day.
Which began as a pagan holiday.
Oh.
The Irish,
go ahead and throw a little damper on there.
No, why is it a damper? The Irish would honor the earth. It was green and it was springtime and they would honor the life that this time of year brings to the people.
Well, thank God for green beer.
Yeah, today we're honoring Guinness. Over 13 million pints will be poured around the globe today.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Seeing us out, it's Monday. We talked about the Fat Club early in the show. We talked about that. You might have missed it. And I admitted that when I was overweight, I was unhappy. But we decided, Automatic and Anthony A, that we wanted to discuss the rock bottom point.
Rock bottom.
I'm too fat. And I remember when I grabbed a pair of pants. Now, I want you to picture this. I'm a little Mexicana, 5'2 on a good day. The pants were size 18 and they would not close.
Oh, that's when your pants don't close.
And those are my big pants. And I thought, if I buy another pair of big pants, I am going to literally explode.
Oh,
and it might not even be that big for some people. There's somebody listening right now who's struggling, who's where I am, or even in a more difficult place.
But you have to also remind them that you're 5'2".
That's why I said in the beginning. I know you're like, no, Dana, that's big. All those eyes just got as round as my belly was.
That is a sad feeling, dude, when you put on some pants horrible. And they don't fit anymore, and then you got to blame Anthony. The closet. Like you did something.
That's why I have the tester shirts.
Oh, you got the
tester. What's a tester shirt?
I never get rid of these shirts because as long as these shirts fit and they fit well, that means I'm doing okay.
Okay, I got to ask you something, husband. Do they fit right now?
Yeah. Right now, I'm at like 203. Yeah! I'm like 3-4 pounds over what I should be at.
And what was your rock bottom moment, DJ? Automatic.
We were in the doctor's office for my daughter, and I just decided...
Not for your daughter. I was pregnant.
Well, yeah, we were there for our daughter, and I decided to step on the scale, and when the scale looked back at me and told me you weigh 248 pounds, I didn't believe it. And then my brothers, I asked them, do I look like I weigh 248 pounds? They're like, dude, fat.
Anthony, come on.
Give that boy an ultrasound. Oh, no. My rock bottom was over the summer. I'm a recovered energy drink addict.
This is why I was going through it.
I was on that hard stuff, that Red Bull at room temp kind of stuff.
Oh.
And I had drank a Red Bull. I was playing some video games. The Red Bull didn't really kick in. I passed out, took a nap. And I woke up from my nap with the video game controller on my stomach, looking around, empty boxes of Chick-fil-A all over. And I'm like, who are you becoming? This is disgusting, dude. And that was it. That was my rock bottom moment for me right there.
You literally turned into producer Chewy.
Oh, no. Chewy got astray.
I'm kidding.
Welcome to the team, fool.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.